From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and founder of Let the Bible Speak. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Psalm 84 and verse 7. They go from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. There are various renderings of these words, but all of them contain the idea of progress. Our own good translation of the Authorized Version is enough for us this morning. They go from strength to strength. That is, they grow stronger and stronger. Usually, if we are walking, we go from strength to weakness. We start fresh and in good order for our journey, but by and by the road is rough and the sun is hot. We sit down by the wayside and then again painfully pursue our weary way. But the Christian pilgrim, having obtained fresh supplies of grace, is as vigorous after years of toilsome travel and struggle as when he first set out. He may not be quite so elate and buoyant, nor perhaps quite so hot and hasty in his zeal as he once was, but he is much stronger in all that constitutes real power, and travels, if more slowly, far more surely. Some gray-haired veterans have been as firm in their grasp of truth and as zealous in diffusing it as they were in their younger days. But alas, it must be confessed it is often otherwise. For the love of many waxes cold, and iniquity abounds. But this is their own sin, and not the fault of the promise, which still holds good. The youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Fretful spirits sit down and trouble themselves about the future. Alas, say they, we go from affliction to affliction. Very true, O thou of little faith, but then thou goest from strength to strength also. Thou shalt never find a bundle of affliction which has not bound up in the midst of it sufficient grace. God will give the strength of ripe manhood with the burden allotted to full-grown shoulders.
Thank you.
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding to think about section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas. In dealing with the Ten Commandments, Dr. Cairns has been treating each one in separate messages. Today he continues his exposition of the Eighth Commandment, Thou Shalt Not Steal. Dr. Cairns has defined this commandment as the unjust appropriation of something that belongs to somebody else by violence, deceit, or fraud. This prohibition extends to every conceivable form of stealing, whether it be by an individual or by the state. As we'll see, the Bible forbids social injustice, swindling, and usury. Now to continue this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
The Bible has capital punishment for many things, but it was never for theft. There was a punishment, even for the man who stole because he felt he had to steal, stealing even to eat. There was a punishment. But it was never capital. But when it came to stealing a man, the sentence is death. That's what God thinks of creating in human flesh. This country is paying a horrible, horrendous, and I fear an endless price for the crime of creating in the bodies and souls of men. No Christian could read of men stolen from their homes, women torn from their children, and their husbands or their fathers and their mothers and packed like rats in a vessel to live or die. Them to be sold as chattels. No Christian's conscience can be easy about that. This is a stain, a blot, not only in America, in England, in Europe, and sad to say, even in all too many Protestant churches. It grieves me as a Presbyterian to have to say, in all too many Presbyterian churches, some men, as products of their time, did not understand the full violence and wickedness of the system. We can't judge men from a past day with the light and experience of our day. That's unjust. But let us say, people with a Reformation heritage, people who had Luther and Calvin as their spiritual progenitors, should never, never, never have fallen into the darkness of the tree and the body and soul of man. Nowadays, there still is slavery in the world. The religion of Islam has always been a slave-holding religion, and it remains so to this day. But for the most part, kidnapping now is, in the West at least, usually for the purposes of extortion. And God condemns that as well. Trading in people has the curse of God. That's the worst form of stealing that a person can be guilty of. Of course, the Bible also condemns theft in every guise. I haven't time to go through all the scriptures in this in great detail, but Amos 3:10 would show you that it condemns violent robbery. It then condemns everything from petty theft to grand larceny. Dishonest pricing on the part of a trader is theft. Deliberate lateness. This is a very, very familiar business practice. Deliberately withholding just payment as long as is possible, especially if there are large amounts due, so that the interest may accrue to the man who owes instead of to the man to whom it's owed. What is it? It is theft. Wasting an employer's time and yet turning up for the paycheck. What is it? It is theft. Even stealing to eat. While we can understand the person stealing to eat, anybody who has ever read Victor Hugo's classic story, Les Miserables, will understand the heartbreak of someone in prison for years because of stealing a loaf of bread to save his sister and child from death. That's not just a little bit of fiction. Sadly, in places like England and France, that happened all too often. The Bible would never, never, never allow that kind of treatment of a person who stole in order to eat. But stealing to eat is still stealing. The wise man in Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9 says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." This is why he says that. "Don't give me riches, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Don't give me poverty, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Benefiting from somebody else's theft. Receiving stolen goods. Knowing something to be stolen and getting a good bargain from it. How often we do it. Or at least it is widely practiced. But the Bible says, Proverbs 29:24, "Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul." And then the Bible has a lot to say on the subject of employers defrauding workers of a just wage. It is true that employees should give a just dares work for their wage. But it is also true that their employer is a thief before God if he doesn't give them a just wage for their work. You think of the sweatshops that still operate in 20th century America. When you think of some of the immigrant farm labor that not only drives Americans out of jobs, but enables us to live in the foolish utopian dream that we can have everything of the best quality without paying anything much for it. Remember, the only way we can have that is because somebody's being ground into the dust and into the dirt. This is what the Bible says. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. In Jeremiah 22, verse 13, if you read on to verse 17, which we'll not do tonight for the sake of time, you will read that God says, woe to him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not for his work. What is he describing in this passage? He's describing an employer who pays his people a pittance, where they can hardly keep body and soul together, while he can build himself a palace. In the eyes of the world, he's a successful businessman. In the eyes of God, he's a common thief. James chapter 5 and verse 4 says, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. God hears them. Thou shalt not steal. This is a commandment that prohibits social injustice. This is another one of those things that the Christian church used to be very loud in proclaiming. And now we have allowed it to be stolen from us and taken up as the agenda of left-wing socialists. Social injustice. In Ecclesiastes 4 and 1, Solomon says, I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed. They had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power. But they had no comforter. Is that not the picture of the injustice that we see around the world today? On the side of the oppressor, there's power. On the side of the downtrodden, there's not even a comforter. But what does the Bible say? In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 8, God says, woe to them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. This is what our confessional statements mean. By depopulation, by seizing lands unjustly, as if a man must have 1,000 acres of freedom. And to get it, he's willing to drive everybody else into rat holes. Amos chapter 2 pronounces God's judgment in Israel because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. Chapter 4, hear this word, ye kine of Bashan that are in the mountains of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy. Chapter 8, verse 4 of Amos, this was one of his big themes. Hear this, ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to feel. The psalmist quotes the words of Jehovah for the oppression of the poor. For the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. In the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3, he says in verse 5, I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. God's word to all such is, thou shalt not steal. In the words of Isaiah 58, verse 6, let the oppressed go free. God is a hater of social injustice. And while, as I indicated, the Bible does not lay any basis for communistic nonsense, yet the Bible is just as adamant against the social injustice that allows one man to suck the blood of thousands, grind them to powder, to make himself rich. The day of God's reckoning on such is coming. The Bible deals with swindling, betraying public trust or private trust. This is something that churches need to be very, very particularly aware of. There have been scams and swindles that have been practiced particularly in churches where someone will come along, and this, unfortunately, is not a rarity nowadays, but they come along and they represent themselves as being in this, not for money, but as a ministry to God's people. And they're in some special kind of investment. Trust me because I'm a Christian. They'll get the money. Hundreds of thousands and millions of hard-earned dollars, especially from the old and the vulnerable, are just whisked away. Swindling is unfortunately all around us. We need to be alert for it, and we also need to make sure we have no part of it. Usury. Not in the sense of just interest on money at any, in any circumstance, but exorbitant interest. The Hebrew word for usury has the idea of biting. There are various scriptures which I'll not turn to for the sake of time tonight. In Deuteronomy 23:19, for example, and in Proverbs 28:8, you'll find there's a reference to usury. The idea is usually of a poor man coming. A poor brother coming. Now, I'm going to sound outlandish here, but if a poor man comes to you as a Christian, if a poor brother in Christ comes to you as a Christian, and he needs you to lend for the necessities of his life, God says it's a matter, first of all, of law. Second, it's a matter of faith that you give and you do it without interest. Now, it's a totally different thing if someone is coming to borrow to invest. It was John Calvin who first pointed out the great difference between a poor man borrowing in order to live, to give his wife and family the necessities of life, and another man borrowing in order to invest and make himself richer. The world of difference. The Bible does not outlaw interest except it be exorbitant interest in the latter case, but it certainly does outlaw all this practice of gouging, loan sharking, taking advantage of the sudden need, especially of the poor and the vulnerable.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.